New Year's blessings to you, brothers and sisters. Prayers for you in this new year, certainly for health and happiness. Health may be predominant prayer for one another in these days. It seems like every person I've talked to in this last week or so has been touched somehow or another by sickness in your own families, including our own. So many prayers for you. I won't ask you to raise your hands. But I will ask you to wash them, please. So many, many blessings on you. As we stand on the precipice of a new year, we look out on it. It brings to mind many things as we anticipate, some people with great anxiety, what this year holds, others with great expectation and hope for what the year holds. That's certainly on my mind this morning, thinking about journeys and changes and all that lies in front of us. Some of that, I think, is because of my own journey, which, as I wrote to you in the newsletter this week, begins with me going back to school tomorrow for 20th grade. I have my school supplies, but I start a doctoral program tomorrow in San Antonio. I'll be gone for 2 weeks and then be back and do it again in June and repeat that for a few years. And I'll tell you more in a couple weeks, because I don't know much more than that now, but I'll tell you more about that then. So I covet your prayers in that. So I think that's partially on my mind, but I think it's also talking with you. Because it doesn't take long to be in conversation with someone at the beginning of the year, and all you have to do is just listen, and you begin to hear all that lies in front of, just like imagine this room if we all took a moment to say what you think lies in front of you this year. And there's just so much. And most of it we don't even know that lies still in front of us in this year. And we hold that in our hearts, even the what we know and what we don't know. All that lies on our journey. And I think all that is on my mind and on my heart. And I think it is yours as well. The start of a new year brings all kinds of possibilities with it. New Year's resolutions may not be reliable guides to what will truly be, but one thing we know, the time is moving on, whether we like it or not. And you can hear that in the way we talk, like, can you believe it's 2018 already? And do you realize that high school graduates this year will have never seen the 1990s? September 11th is just a chapter in their fraying history books or their levitating holographic brain massagers, depending on which school district they're in. Time moves on. That's the way it feels. I suppose there's a philosophical argument about whether time moves anywhere, what kind of humans construct the notion of time is, and whether time is linear or circular. And those are interesting discussions. But for those of us living in this new year, by the Gregorian calendar, which says it's January 7th, or the liturgical calendar, which says it's the first Sunday after the Epiphany, we know what it feels like. It feels like time's moving faster than we can keep up. And not all that is bad, of course. Marking time like this gives us some impulse at these moments to set a new course. You can read the Bible all the way through this year if you set your mind to it. You can pray this year like you've never prayed before. You can save a little more money. You can give a little bit more away. You can learn to play a new instrument or sing in the choir. You can hold your kids a little bit longer. You can laugh a little bit freer. You can eat a little healthier and worry about your body's image a little bit less. We can resolve to do all kinds of things in a new year. The possibilities are endless. But one thing we know is that we're on a journey somewhere other than where we are today. No matter how we feel about the past, the present, or the future, we're on a journey. Today is a gift just for this day and will not come by this way again. And this year ahead of us holds in store challenges and experiences we might already know are coming, and some we can't even imagine yet. We're all on the road to a more personal communion with God and a deeper communion with one another. We come into this new year as pilgrims, each on our own journey and collectively as a church. We come together as church regularly to renew our faith and to be assured of God's gracious mercy. And we also come to be challenged to take the journey of faith more courageously. Some days, some years, we need it more than others. We've heard today in the gospel reading, the journey of the Magi to Bethlehem. This story should encourage us and challenge us. The Magi departed on a journey to meet God toward an unsure destination, to face obstacles they would not completely understand, for a purpose even wise men could only partially know, and made decisions along the way that would alter their best laid plans. In all those ways, the Magi's journey to Bethlehem echoes just about every other journey in Scripture. In Scripture, since they left the Garden of Eden, men and women were on the move. They moved from place to place. They moved from doubt to faith, from war to peace, from faithless to faithful, and back and forth again. When we see Jesus as an itinerant preacher through Galilee and Judea, He and His disciples embody the spirit of all Scripture. From Father Abraham to Apostle Paul, people are always on the move, even if they're sitting still. Does that make sense? I think it does. We're on the move even if we're sitting still. The changing calendar tells us that. Time is moving. Life is moving. Life is a journey. It's a sacred pilgrimage, if you'll see it that way. Seeing life as this journey, as pilgrimage, means that not everything will be easy. Some of it will be hard. Not everything will be simple. Some things will be pretty tough. Not everything will be pleasant. Some of it will be painful. That's life's journey. And that's not a pessimistic outlook. A pessimistic outlook is that everything will be bad. A clear-eyed outlook is this. We stand today on the edge of the unknown. And we don't know what this year will bring. We walk into it not fully knowing what we're walking into. For those of us who are older, this is old news. You know this full well. You've been around the block a few times, so you know that Koheleth's wisdom has the ring of truth. There's nothing new under the sun. But you've also been around long enough to know that life can change on you pretty quickly, whether you're ready for it or not. And this is why along the way we've asked our young folks getting married to make serious promises to one another before we say, okay, you're married. Vows that cover the range of human experience, sickness and health, riches and poverty, good times and bad. It's all there. There's wisdom in these vows. Life is a journey. Each year is a journey, and you don't know what it'll bring. And so what we would like to discover in these days is a kind of image of this pilgrimage to Bethlehem we hear this morning. Like the wise men from the East, we too are on a journey of both purpose and uncertainty, and we need a spirituality big enough and deep enough to embrace it all as the path toward communion with God. The one gift that sustains pilgrims on this way is the ability to trust God. Trusting God for what lies ahead is at the heart of how we will endure, embrace whatever comes our way. Life's journey is a pilgrimage of trust. If we're on a journey, there will be change. There will always be change. Things do not stay the same. When we got back to Waco on New Year's afternoon, I went to the store to acquire a ham, black-eyed peas, potato salad, green onions, and greens. All the fixings for a proper New Year's Day feast. The kind we had every year growing up watching the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Day. This was serious business in the Howell household. One year, my Deep South parents were in Arizona for New Year's at a restaurant of all the forsaken realities. My mother asked the waiter if they had black-eyed peas. He said, "What's a black-eyed pea?" They got up and left. They tried another restaurant and had the same story. And finally, they gave in to enchiladas for New Year's. Black-eyed peas were serious business. As a kid, I never could stand them and only ate them because something about getting a dollar for every pea you ate or something never worked. But I've come around in the years since, so I got the peas and all the rest. And then I spotted on the shelf one last can of candied yams. My kids had never had candied yams in all their lives. They'd never heard of them. But doggone it, they were having them this year. And so we had the classic Howell New Year's Day meal. It was like it always was on the first day of the year, a delicious meal seasoned with nostalgia. And I recognize that may be one of the last times this year it will be that way. Things are always changing. I'm pleased to announce today that our church music is changing this year. We've been pretty much traditional hymns with piano, while other churches have gone to electric guitars and screens and drum kits and such. Well, we don't want to be left behind. We want to be relevant, and so we're changing. But being forward thinkers like we are, we're leapfrogging the contemporary music phase and pioneering the next great thing in Christian worship music, an all bagpipe worship band. We might even mix in an accordion. All right. Not everything changes. I'll have you know, this wonderful thing was Kurt's idea. Way to go, Kurt. Wherever you are. Where are you? Not everything changes, but a lot of things do, and many of those are out of our control. If there's journey, there's going to be change, and that's true in every area of life, even church life, bagpipe worship bands notwithstanding. I think folks around here understood that intuitively and have said to one another from time to time that we hold the church lightly. I think that means we're careful not to squeeze the life out of it by trying to grip it too anxiously. We hold it lightly, and that requires real trust in one another, certainly in God. Church isn't the only area of our lives in which we learn to trust God. Just think of what you might be facing this year. For some of you, life looks different now than it did just recently. And this year will be different from any other year before. Some of you are headed off to college. Some of you are headed into parenthood. Some of you might just graduate from college this year if you don't mess around the next few months. Some of you might get a job this year, and some of you might lose one. You may be offered a job away from here. What will you do? You may have a medical challenge that you don't expect standing today. It's just the reality. Some of you have a pretty good idea of what you'll face, but you don't have any idea what to do about it. The truth is, none of us know what we'll encounter. And that reality can either paralyze us or lead us deeper into trusting God. We must remember that God doesn't promise that everything will be easy or that we will always understand why we're going through what we're going through. Even though they were known as wise men, they headed toward Jerusalem, which made total sense to look for a newborn king at the palace, when all the while Bethlehem is where they should go. They probably never heard of Bethlehem when they began their journey, but it was there that they met God. Once there, only then did they understand how they should change their plans. God gave them a vision to go home another way. Their wisdom was not in knowing all the answers ahead of time, but in their willingness to discern and adapt and trust the wisdom of God. We'll need that too. Because if there's a journey, there's change. And if there's change, there's disruption, even danger, sometimes suffering. The story of the Magi is not just a children's story, not just a sweet nativity tale. It's a story of political drama and violent suspicion and the utter vulnerability of the Holy Family to the situation around them. Matthew tells a true, if difficult, picture of the world. It's the story of all Scripture. There is change. And with change comes both pain and opportunity to lean more fully into the Father's arms. When we desire deeper communion with God and with one another, we move into trust. Trust in God in all things becomes the source of spirituality that can endure and embrace the future. And God is trustworthy. Psalm 40 is a wonderful song of trust. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. It is with this kind of trust in God that we can hear with unstopped ears the good word, arise, shine. You may have dwelt in deep darkness, you may still yet today, but the sun is dawning in splendor. The light of the living word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path as you walk on. And you're not alone. We'll walk together, side by side, holding one another, celebrating with one another, leaning into one another. With experience as our teacher and with our brothers and sisters to help us, we learn to trust God. Thomas Merton penned an honest prayer for all people who stand on the brink of the unknown, as we all do at the beginning of every season of life. This prayer has meant a lot to a lot of people, including me. We'll close with it here, which is also a beginning of all that is to come. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you, and I hope I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.